Holla, it's the Freedom Fiends. It's Nima Vadati. Yes, yeah! Michael was hollering. That's Michael Dean. Yeah! And you know what it is. It's our Michael live Dean. Sunday show.
No relation to Howard Dean.
Yeah! Yes. No blood relation, but a screaming relation, apparently.
Yeah, I don't like his politics either at all, man. That guy's the worst. There's a thing on 30 Rock where Jack's dating some woman and then realizes she's a Democrat. And worse yet, a Democrat from Vermont, which is what Howard Dean was. So, yeah.
I don't really remember much about his politics. I remember when I was, as you call yourself back in the day, a lazy Democrat at one point. Ugh. And I remember thinking, why is this guy getting so ridiculed? He was screaming. He was just passionate. Yeah. I wasn't listening to what he was screaming about. But it seemed like all anybody cared about was, oh, he's screaming. We can't have a candidate that screams.
Yeah, that's the power of the mainstream news, to just take something that's not even news and run with it. Yeah, and you know, they wouldn't do that now to a Democrat. They hold their Democrats too preciously close to their bodies. They would never. Yeah, man, they wouldn't. Yeah, it's like some Democrats screamed, bah! But don't look over there that the Detroit is filing for bankruptcy. That's not news. Let's race bait about the Zimmerman trial. That's what they're doing.
What is the deal with that? I mean, I don't get it. What's the racial issue? It seems like they're making a mountain out of a molehill there.
Making it up, man.
Is that it? I mean, are they saying that people who are really upset about this, they're saying that Trayvon Martin got shot just because he was black? Yeah.
Here's what happened. We haven't even talked about the Zimmerman trial at all. I mean, we mentioned it like once 4 months ago, which is kind of weird because we're probably the only talk show in the country who hasn't, especially one who's pro-gun and pro-self-defense, and we have not consciously avoided it. Really, we're just like, we'd rather talk about other stuff, and it just kind of slipped down our notes and got pushed down about 10 pages.
Well, how many self-defense shootings are there all the time, a year, a day, a week? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time. I'm not saying it's always right, and I'm sure sometimes it is. Sometimes it's perfectly justified. But that should be the main question. And the other ones don't ever get national media attention. It reminds me of the opposite race thing where only the little pretty little blonde white girls that get kidnapped get national attention.
Yeah, it's true. Yep. And it was not a stand your ground case, and everyone's using it and saying, we need to get rid of stand your ground laws, which literally have kind of been on the book since like the 1400s. They go back to like the Magna Carta. I mean, they are pre-American. They're so entrenched in the legal tradition.
Well, what is the legal tradition there? It's if somebody attacks you, then you can defend yourself. Is that so foreign a concept? Or
well,
what?
It actually, stand your ground laws actually go back to when the only weapons available were swords. It basically means you don't have to run away. And trying to apply something with swords, stand your ground laws are good ideas, but there are states, I think Ohio is one, that you do not have a stand your ground right. If someone comes at you with a weapon, you have a duty to try to retreat if you can. If someone points a gun at you and you just stand there and shoot them, that's not clear self-defense in those states, which is ridiculous. It's based on a time when to hurt somebody with a weapon, you had to run over to them and stick the weapon in them, not when you could stand many feet or yards or, you know, quarter miles away and shoot them. So they don't.
If somebody is shooting you and you're trying to run away, even if you serpentine, there's still a good chance you're going to get hit.
Serpentine. That's a Death Clock reference, isn't it?
I would serpentine if I were you.
Yeah. Yeah. But trying to take away stand your ground laws in this day and age is ridiculous because, taking away any self-defense right is ridiculous, but it's not a stand your ground case. In the initial hearing, Zimmerman tried to claim a stand your ground thing, and they said, this isn't a stand your ground thing because you followed him and you called the police and said you were following him, which again goes to what the rappers and the fiends say. Never talk to police. That's not legal advice. Mm-hmm. It's just fiends' advice. It's how we run our lives. If you can help it, man, don't contact the police.
Stop snitching.
Stop snitching on yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not a stand your ground case. They're trying to make it one. They're trying to take away rights of self-defense. The other thing is the whole racial component of it is based on three people, three producers at ABC who've since been fired. Was it ABC?
NBC. NBC. It was NBC. Yeah, don't get us into trouble there.
and you used to work for ABC, but you can't say that. I can. Yeah, so somebody worked at NBC was fired. Basically, they took a tape recording where it was a 911 call. It was basically Zimmerman saying, "I'm following some guy. He looks like he's on drugs. He's just kind of wandering around in the rain. I think he might
looks
be
like a- he could be trouble."
Yeah.
And then there was a whole section where the dispatcher said, "Well, what does he look like? Is he white, black, Hispanic?" And Zimmerman goes, "I think he's black." But they cut out the dispatcher question.
And what is he wearing? He's wearing jeans and he's wearing a hoodie. Okay, the NBC producers cut that into a remix. They did a remix, a hip-hop remix, where it said...
Remix!
It basically was it made Zimmerman be saying, "There's some guy, he's black, he's in a hoodie. I think he's up to no good."
Yeah.
That's not news, man.
Which
would
work great for a hip-hop song, but not for news.
Yeah, and that is lying. That is lying. And that is not journalism. And that is why people should listen only to the Freedom Fiends and radio and not listen to mainstream TV. Because it's all lies. And there's nothing but truth on the radio. So, they did that.
The thing about that is, how much of that do you think was them trying to make the story more sensational? How much of it also was a time constraint? Because that's the other thing about TV as opposed to radio, is you have a very much more finite amount of time.
Oh, come on, man.
Time.
You worked in news. You know that that wasn't a time constraint issue, because they moved things around in order. It didn't make – they could have edited it and told the same story correctly in the same amount of time. Just go back a step here. They were trying to make a story. There was no story here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was the first thing I said, is how much of them was trying to sensationalize it, make it a story, you know.
Yeah.
Because if it's just man shoots other man in self-defense action, possible self-defense action, that's not a lead of the national news at night, you know.
Yeah. And Zimmerman is so non-racist. I mean, he mentored black kids, you know, in a Big Brother kind of program. He dated a black woman. He is part Hispanic, which, the news is calling Hispanic white, but most Hispanics, I lived in LA and had Hispanics yell at me and say, "Yo, white boy, get off my block," or say it in Spanish even, but I understood the white boy
part. I liked your comment in our notes that race is fluid now, like gender.
Yeah, like gender.
I think you're really hitting on something there, because I don't know. I guess because I'm kind of mixed, that when I grew up, I always thought, what's the big deal between this whole white versus black, Mexican versus black thing? I'm kind of not really in either of those groups, of those groups. So
what's your driver's license say? What's the state say you are?
Driver's license says I'm white, and Middle Eastern people are supposed to be white. Like, when you check the box, sometimes there's a extended definition of the different races. And
well,
white
Aryan used to mean Persian, and you're Persian, right?
Well, that's a little backwards. Iran is actually named – that's the Persian word for land of the Aryans. So Aryan's ancestry supposedly is an Indo-European thing that started in Germany, and I think they migrated slowly across Eurasia and into India. So Indians can be considered Aryans too by some.
So you mean people from India? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could actually say to you, "What's up, my young, strong, proud Aryan brother?"
What's up, my Aryan brother? Yeah.
And I don't even want that. It wouldn't mean what it usually means to most people, and I don't even want to go there. But you are Aryan in the original meaning of the word, whereas most people would look at me and say I'm Aryan because I'm blonde with blue eyes and have a big nose, and I'm actually Irish more than English, but or whatever. I don't even know what people say Aryan means. Blonde hair, blue eyes, I guess. I don't know. I have a tiny bit of German in me. But so anyway, getting off on that whole thing. But race is fluid the way gender is fluid. And, you know, some like gender and sex are two different things now legally. Like, sex is based on chromosomes. Gender and sex is based on physical whatever. But it's also gender is based on what you say you are, like a transsexual or transvestite. can say their gender is other or male or female when that's not their biological gender. They choose their gender. So it's fluid in today's age. And I think race has become fluid in today's age because everyone's demonizing Zimmerman for being a white guy who hates blacks, when actually Zimmerman is as much non-white as our president is non-white. You know, and our president, claims the race draft on that show we like,
Dave
the
Chappelle,
racial draft.
Yeah,
yeah, he would, you know, he's black and but he's half white, and Zimmerman is half white, but he's half Hispanic. So you know, the media has chosen that he is white, which is weird. So yeah, it's fluid like gender when it suits people, and the whole thing is there's. I don't know if it was legitimate self-defense, but I know that if I were on the jury, I would have said not guilty because there was reasonable doubt, and the prosecutor was horrible. He did not do his quote unquote job, and he took something to court that probably wouldn't normally be in other situations.
Now, here's the other interesting angle is Zimmerman was doing his neighborhood watch duties at the time. Was he not?
Yeah.
He was playing cop. And
I don't like that.
Butler Schaefer wrote a really interesting article on what bothered him most about the Zimmerman trial. And that was basically it, was that that seemed to be the tone of the prosecution's summation to the jury, was that he didn't have one of these. And apparently toward the end of the state summation, it was said that if a person wanted to do what Zimmerman did, quote, you'd better have one of these, whereupon a photo of a policeman's badge was projected onto the screen.
So he's basically saying only the state can let white Hispanic guys shoot young black men for something we don't know what it is. And that's the whole thing too. That bothered me a lot about it, that it basically had a component of this is the state's job, not the neighborhood watch job. And it also bugged me a lot that it bugs me an immense amount that cops shoot kids all the time. They shoot kids, they shoot dogs, they kick in doors, they kidnap people. You know, when they're legally doing their job, they're doing horrible things because they're kicking in doors of nonviolent people and being violent to them and kidnapping them and stealing their property and breaking their doors and putting them in a cage.
Commandeering their homes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But even people who believe that's ethical, the cops often do their jobs wrong. They kick in the wrong door. They shoot the person who's got the candy bar in their hand. You know, they do all sorts of things. That happens all the time. And for Obama and Holder to try to prosecute this guy, Obama is bombing black children in Africa wholesale all the time, every day. And he's saying, somebody shot a black person and we're going to make him pay. Obama kills black people all the time. So does Holder kills people by the Fast and Furious, man.
Yep. By the Fast and Furious. More fiends.
Worms.
5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series. Available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. Scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on
on an adventure through the solar system, on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
All right, fiends, welcome back to our Fiend Empire radio show. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean, and we are going to be talking about some interesting things, so stick with us.
Yo.
What's up, Mr. Hada. Dean?
No relation to Howard Dean.
Yeah. Now,
wait. The Fiend's Empire. What overseas holdings do you have? What nations overseas do you own? We're not an empire.
We're an empire of the mind. We've got listeners all around the world. Go look at our map. You know.
That's our empire, but we don't own them. There's some talk show host guy. It says he's like the czar of talk radio, and I'm like, really?
Ew.
That is so status, man. We don't. Why would you want to take?
Does he say it tongue in cheek? Like,
yeah,
Eric,
but he also,
you know.
But he also does some like small government show. So like, I'm a small government guy, but I'm pretending to be a czar.
Well, you make the joke that you want to be the libertarian central planner.
No, you say that I am because you say that I tell people what to do. Basically, I'm producing the show. You know, I say, let's do this and that. And you're like, stop it, man. You're like Hitler. Yeah, let's do everything free form. Let's have everything happen at once. That's what I say to people who say, let's be free form. Let's have everything happen at once. So, you know, planning, yeah, it works. It's good. But central plan. But see, the thing is, we own the fiends, so we can central plan it. Politicians want to centrally plan everyone, and that's what makes them like Hitler, really.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, planning only works if you own the thing you're planning, because then you own the mistake or the success of your plan. But politicians plan things they don't own.
Well, they
try
think
to plan
they own.
Other people's
they think
lives.
They own.
Yeah, you
know.
They do.
I mean, presidents have always posed with babies and said, you know, these are our children. These are the nation's children, and you know, pretended to be our fathers. And you know, the government's now calling itself the federal family instead of the federal government. They don't want to. That's some weird 1984 stuff, there, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of that, we've got a live read that we picked up. do you enjoy feeling safe? Our nurturing eyes in the sky are the guardian angels here to protect you from potential terrorists, potential child molesters, and potentially yourself. Dad will keep you safe. The Drone Advancement Directive by the FEA, the Freedom Enforcement Agency, is fielding drones in a sky near you. Please be respectful of the drones, just like you would respect your real dad. Any attack on Dad's watchful eyes will be met with a full force of the Fed family, no matter what a local city council tells you. Be safe.
What do we get? Are we getting paid for that one, or that's just a public service announcement?
It's a public service announcement. We're required by the FEA to do that live read.
The FEA. Yeah, and this is parody, just so anyone knows, because I think public service announcement has particular legal ramifications to using that term. This is it's a public fiends announcement. There you go. That's actually a parody of – we read an article about yesterday. We're talking about how a city council in Colorado is offering a $25 bounty for anyone who shoots down drones, or proposing legislation to do that. And the FAA actually responded with a – don't shoot down the drones. You'll get in trouble.
Naughty.
Yeah. But we're going to get to that, maybe. But we're going to go back to how Obama thinks race is now fluid like gender.
Wow. I guess because he's racist against – does racist actions. He causes mass hate crimes. You said he bombs black people all the time, but I don't know if – he probably bombs a lot more brown people than black people. But one thing that has been attributed to U.S. foreign policy by Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times, the BBC, is during the whole Libya fiasco where, you know, Obama was obviously supporting the rebels. Those rebels were going on anti-black pogroms because there were rumors that Gaddafi was using black people as mercenaries. There were public lynchings in Benghazi. Here's a BBC quote from a Turkish construction worker. worker. The construction worker says, "We had 70 to 80 people from Chad working for our company. They were cut dead with pruning shears and axes." Attackers saying, "You're providing troops for Gaddafi." The Sudanese were also massacred. We saw it for ourselves. So just workers coming up to find work, to, you know, work in the oil fields or whatever there is, the industry in Libya, just being killed just because they had black skin, and Obama giving money and material support and weapons to those terrorist entities doing that.
So that's Obama's immigration policy in countries that he thinks he owns.
Right.
Cut to death with pruning shears, people who come in looking for jobs.
Apparently.
Yeah. Didn't Scott Horton say that Obama, compare him to the Grand Dragon of the KKK?
Yes. They say he should be the Grand Dragon. You know, one of those guys with the big purple and green suits, you know, all shiny, decked out. Not like a normal guy in a white hood. But yeah, man. Because this is the kind of stuff that's horrible. Lynchings in 2011, you know, when this happened. Can you imagine that?
Now, are you saying those would not be happening without Obama's involvement over there?
I'm saying there's blood on his hands because he was supporting the parties doing the lynchings, is what I'm saying.
There you
we'll go. Be back with Morphine.
Foreign aid, man. Foreign aid. U.S. foreign aid in action.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Holla. Holla.
Sipping on some sizzle. Sipping on some sizzle. Bang is screwed.
It's the Freedom Fiends. What it do? Yeah, y'all already know what it is.
Was that some southern DXM music there?
Yeah, well, it started off as codeine was supposed to be what lean was. Codeine and promethazine.
You can call it promethazine, I don't know what that is.
It's cough syrup. You know.
Now, why are we talking about recreational drugs? Because there is a theory that seems to have some evidence that that Trayvon Martin was high on DXM, which doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but it kind of plays into how he was behaving and why Zimmerman may have walked up to him. And the Southern rap thing, Nima could tell us about it. What is skittling, or what did they do, something like that? What's skittling?
Well, see, I hadn't heard about the skittling trend, but it makes sense. Back in the day, you know, when I lived in Houston and was in, you know, big into the scene and listening to Screw, banging Screw, jamming Screw, people were, you know, everything was about the paraphernalia of styrofoam white cups. You know, you got your white cup, you get yourself a Sprite or a Big Red or a root beer, and you put a faux, you know, 4 ounces of codeine in it, and you sip on it, and you get leaned out.
But you put candy in it. You put candy in it. Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, people like Lil Flip would talk about Jolly Ranchers, and you drop a few Jolly Ranchers in it. If it's Sprite and codeine, you know, you get a rainbow colored cup. And that was the thing. It added to the psychedelic effect. Is, you know, I got my rainbow cup up in here, and so I could totally see how skittling would be, you know, another play off of that whole putting candy, a sugary drink, and some type of cough medicine, and drinking it to get leaned out or get high or trip.
Yeah. Now DXM is dextromethorphan. Is that it? How do you say it?
Dextromethorphan is how I always called it.
Which is over-the-counter cough medicine. Like, I think it's used in NyQuil. It's used in some other ones, right?
Now, yep. NyQuil, Robitussin, etc.
That's kind of like the poor man's drink. When you can't get real codeine, which is prescription only and probably expensive on the black market, if you really have to take some drug, that doesn't feel good but gets you out of your head, makes you weird. Some people will drink that kind of over-the-counter cough syrup for the DXM effect.
Well, it actually – I knew a guy. I have a friend who did it, you know, for a summer or two and said, you know, it's – pretty intense. If you take it at certain doses, it's a trip. You do hallucinate, you have a trip. But it's a really different effect apparently at different ranges of it. So in normal doses, you know, like if you take a couple too many tablespoons of NyQuil, you'll just feel kind of good and a little bit euphoric and maybe be a little bit chatty. If you drank something equivalent to a whole bottle of it, you know, then you might trip. You know, you might just want to lay down in the dark and look at lights and listen to Jimi Hendrix or something, or watch Clockwork Orange. You know, do something that people would do on mushrooms or acid and stuff like that. Here's one of the other things about DXM is it's really dangerous. It can be to do it wrong, and it can cause horrible things like liver damage, not necessarily because of the DXM, but because it's often coupled with other drugs that are dangerous. Like if you were to try using it with NyQuil, you know, there's Tylenol in NyQuil. There's acetaminophen, which I think it's almost a lethal dose if you drink a whole bottle of NyQuil. You don't. It's like taking a bottle of Tylenol. You
it will
don't
give you
by any
like
means want to
yeah,
do it.
One night of that can give you liver damage. Now Trayvon Martin, the autopsy said he had liver damage, which is where we're going with this. And there's a theory out there, WorldNet Daily. I don't know how much of a source they are, but you know, there's a blog, there's a post on there, there's something on the internet. I read it; it must be true. That you know, Trayvon had in his hand iced tea and Skittles, which you could mix with you know, over-the-counter cough syrup to make the poor man's equivalent of the drank. You know, the Southern Jolly Rancher and soda, grape soda and codeine thing, which, you know, sounds like a stretch. But then somebody found Facebook posts of his. Now, his family took his Facebook page offline immediately because people were just posting horrible things on it. But somebody found an archive of it somewhere, and he was talking with somebody about, like, yeah, I want to get some codeine and trying to buy some from him or something, or he was trying to buy some from them. And he was like, well, just try DXM. It's codeine, which is not true, but
no,
it is sort of a really crappy equivalent, you know, if you can't afford it. Now, this will make – one of the side effects is it makes people really disoriented. It would make you likely to just wander around in the rain, and it can make you very confrontational if someone just says hi to you or what are you doing or whatever. It can make
very
you –
very disoriented, yeah. I'd want to emphasize. The friend I knew never really got violent, but he says it's in the same family. DXM is a dissociative. So it's the
like
other
PCP.
Drugs that are in that family, yeah, are PCP, ketamine. Things like that.
They're they're not chemically in the same family, but in their effect family.
In their effects,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it looks like it could point to it took him like 57 minutes to walk like an eighth of a mile. And there's videos, if you look up DXMing on YouTube, like security videos of people on DXM, like buying it and then walking home in it with it, and they are stumbling and going really slow and like clinging the walls to get places. So it's possible he was on it. He talked on Facebook about liking it or wanting to do it. And, you know, that's not an excuse for shooting somebody, but it could explain some of his behavior. And really, this just goes back to the war on drugs. The war on drugs that Obama and Holder especially love to perpetuate and even ramp up led to the killing of this guy getting shot. Because
could have been a factor. I think I don't know if
I think it's
to,
a factor because a factor. If drugs were legal, you know, you wouldn't have neighborhood watch people going up and saying, "What are you doing, man? What are you doing?"
Yeah. Are you on drugs?
Yeah. And, you know, if drugs were legal, he could have gotten the drugs he wanted instead of the drugs with these horrible side effects that are mixed with these things that ruin your liver and make you disoriented and aggressive.
Well, and the drug delivery service would have came to his home, knocked on his door, and would have given him a tip and sat on his couch and listened to, I don't know, MGMT or Jimi Hendrix or something. It would have just sat there and relaxed.
Nima V. So is Jimi Hendrix a thing? Do rappers take drugs and listen to Jimi Hendrix? I didn't know this.
No,
you said it twice now. Or is this what your friend liked to do?
This is what my friend liked to do. But no, in the rap culture, you'd probably listen to DJ Screw, you know, 3 in the morning. That there's instructions on the liner notes. of 3 in the Morning, which is sort of the quintessential DJ Screw album. Instructions in the liner notes that say, step one, take something to get you to that higher level, whether it be drink, whiskey, weed, whatever you want, whatever gets you to that higher level. Press play, relax, you know, zone out. And so, but that's not what he was doing. It's, he was stumbling from the gas station.
You know, basically, if Obama wasn't so hypocritical and keeping pot illegal, even though he was a Choom Gang member back in the day, you know, right. Obama smoked mad weed back in the day, and now he's like, well, we can't legalize that. You know, basically, like, if Obama had been busted with the laws he still loves, he never would have been president. But, if Obama was not such a hypocrite, things would be different. And now, like, they're trying to make this thing out of race. They're trying to make race fluid. You know, Obama says, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Actually, if Obama had a son, he would look more like that American that was droned. What's his name? The 16-year-old kid that was droned?
Anwar al-Awlaki's son. I can't remember.
Yeah, he looks a lot more like Obama, actually, than Trayvon Martin does. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right, because Obama's kind of, you know, he's not. Well, I won't go into that. But
you're brown. Yeah, you're brown, man. You can talk about racial colorations. Go ahead.
Can I? Is that
you are brown.
Like,
race you're allowed.
Fluid?
Yes, race is fluid.
I'm half brown. My wife says I'm beige.
Dude, you look like the people that blew up the World Trade Center. You really do.
What? Oh, my God.
You could be in the same lineup.
That's racist. That's racist.
You do. You look more like him than I look like him.
I'm shaggy now. I've got the long hair and the beard. I look like I'm out of the Old Testament.
So you look like the blind sheikh now?
Oh, man. Man, Michael. All right.
No, well, you do look more like you're out of the Old Testament.
You look like an IRA member. How's that?
Man, we are trying to get droned here on The Fiends.
I guess.
Lynched. Yeah, there's people are threatening lynchings of white people because Zimmerman got off. That's all over the Twitter sphere. Obama says it's about race. That's one. You know, here's the really bizarre one is the Department of Justice wants your tips on Trayvon civil rights case. President Obama's Department of Justice wants American tips on Trayvon Martin's civil rights to build a federal case against George Zimmerman. So basically, the most powerful attorneys in the country can't build a case. So they're asking, you know, the boys from the hood and Jenny from the block to offer them advice, legal advice.
I'm just reminded of that South Park episode where they use a whole episode to rip on the concept of a hate crime, right? The crime is in the actual action itself.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the murder. You murdered somebody or you didn't. You know, your motive can be used, I think, in the trial to show that, hey, this person had a reason to do the crime, but it doesn't make the crime a different crime.
You know, those hate crime laws came out of the Wyoming case of the gay kid that was beat to death and dragged here in Wyoming.
Ah, in Laramie. Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is the local wisdom on this. It wasn't about him being gay. It was a drug deal gone bad. So again, the war on drugs made that happen. And anybody who's like into liberty and into guns, but thinks, oh, drugs are bad, they should be illegal. You got to remember, man, the war on drugs leads to the war on guns. It led to Fast and Furious, and it is training the people to kick in the doors who are going to be the same guys that come kick in your doors to take your guns. So
right,
there.
Right. And as a basic principle or a concept, the state, you know, this overbearing top-down organization deciding what you can have, whether it's anything, whether it's drugs or guns or toasted bread or ice cream, it doesn't matter. As soon as you allow them to decide what you have in your pantry, in your house, in your closet, in your safe, in your stash box, as soon as you allow them to regulate even one of those things, that just opens the Pandora's box. You know, we go from banning drugs to banning soda. You know,
yeah,
and various types of guns. It's a slippery slope that we're already down in the mud in the
it's
ditch.
The camel's toe under the net under the tent.
The camel toe.
The camel's toe under the camel's nose under the net under
there
the tent. I'm not skittling. I'm not smoking bison hair. By the way, that's a joke when I said smoking bison hair. I haven't done a drug since July 7th, 1994. I haven't even had a drink, but I still feel like I'm altered all the time. I'm just that's the way God made me, or that's I don't know, man.
You did enough for your whole life, so you can stop and focus on other things.
I had a friend die from DXMing. My friend Chris from Bellingham, Washington, who played in the band Loaf, a really cool band, was high on it, and his house burned down, and he didn't wake up, and he died in the late 90s. So yeah, and if the war, he was doing that because probably because he couldn't get any real drugs, man. Because he was a guy who liked his weed. So yeah, and there's a song called that I wrote since then called "Song for Chris Loaf to Sing One Day." That's one of our bumps here on the Fiends. I'll mention it when we come back from it. It's slow and plodding like his music and wonderful. Yeah,
worms.
Fiends, worms, fiends, worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Freedom Fiends. Y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all know what it is.
This song, this is the song for Chris Loaf to sing someday.
Ah, okay.
Which is it's a weird title for, it's in our movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, but it's a weird title for a song because it's called "Song for Chris Loaf to Sing Someday," and Chris Loaf has been dead for, you know, like 15 years or something. So it's my tribute to him. It's an instrumental song for my dead friend to sing one day, basically.
It was also one of the inspirations for our movie The Guns and Weed, or Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Remember you put me in the booth and I was doing a rap, a hippity hop. Uh-huh. And, I had a line, I want my guns and my weed, you know, Who are you to tell me what I do and don't need?
Oh, was it that tune? Was it that music?
It was that tune. It was that tune. Yeah.
You're doing Chris Loaf proud. Chris Loaf would like you. Oh, Chris Loaf was Middle Eastern. Actually, I don't remember from what country, but he was a half breed like you.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I don't remember. He was like, and I think he had some Italian in him, but he was a beautiful man. He was a beautiful man. Yeah.
Italian in
no
me.
No homo. Beautiful man. Yep.
Yeah. Sicilian, to be exact. Yes.
So, mafioso.
I come from the hot-blooded Mediterranean breeds.
You're pretty mellow for hot-blooded. It must have been all that DXM your friend did back in college. You got a contact mellow from it that lasted a lifetime.
I think so.
So Obama thinks race is now fluid like gender. That's going to be the name of our show. And we want to talk about how the concept of gender being fluid, it goes to the United Nations. And I know how everyone who listens to our show loves the United Nations because they want what's best for you. No, they probably want to kill you if you're listening to this show. I would assume. I can't say that. I don't want to get sued. They have a lot of lawyers. But I'm looking at the flag of the UN World Health Organization, which is basically probably driving Obamacare and definitely driving "We Want to Take Your Guns Away." It's a really creepy logo. It's the UN logo, the white palm leaves around the globe on the blue background. The blue is so calming. It's like the color of the walls at the FEMA mental hospital, I think. Color blue basically says, it's all right. Just give up your guns and submit to the government and everything will be okay. But
the world government loves you.
And this logo, but it has the UN logo, and superimposed over it is the doctor logo, the medicine, the pole with the snake wrapped around it. But together, to me, it just looks like the logo of the evil world organization in the dystopian novel or movie.
It does, indeed.
Yeah.
So are you trying to say you don't think race or gender, either of them, should be fluid? Or are you saying one is okay to be fluid? Or what's your beef here?
I think it's okay for them to be fluid. I think a lot of conservative ideology looks down on that. Like, well, you know, like there's a King of the Hill where Hank has to get a new driver's license because they accidentally put female, and he goes to his doctor and he has to get proof that he's female. I mean, that he's male to take back to the state to get them to change
it. But his narrow urethra keeps holding him back.
Well, the doctor's like, oh, Hank, I can't just say determine gender because of a physical examination. I'd have to do DNA testing. I mean, and Hank's like, what do you think this is? I think I'm some kind of freak with parts made out of a toe. But no, I think both set gender and race are fluid. But what I object to is people choosing when they're this or that for political advantage to hurt others. And in this case, you know, Obama, who is playing the black card in this case, is putting a white card on the head of George Zimmerman and calling him white to demonize him for something he shot this guy. It may or may not have been self-defense. I don't think there was enough in court to prove that it was murder, but the thing is, it was not racially motivated, man. Absolutely not. And that whole claim is based on an NBC News lie of, making a remix, basically. That's my problem with it being fluid.
Well, if it was a white kid with a bald head and tattoos and a wife beater, do you think he would have shot him?
Maybe. I don't know. All the thugs in my state look like that. They're all white. I live in Wyoming. If anyone ever breaks into my house and, you know, threatens me, it's either going to be the state or it's going to be some white meth head in a hoodie. Probably.
There you go.
And that's the all war right. on drugs right there. Because if drugs were legal, the meth head would be getting his delivered like pizza.
That's the real villain.
Instead of breaking
here.
Into my house to steal my microphones and my guns. Yeah.
Those precious metals.
Yeah!
And we'll be back with more Fiends Hour 2 coming up. Stick around, folks.
Michael Dean.
Yeah.
No relation.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Holla.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for hour two of Freedom Fiends Live on Sunday, July 21st, 2013. 2-1-3. That's us. Yeah. I'm Nima V. We've also got Michael Dean. What a deal, Mr. Dean.
No relation to Howard Dean, philosophically or through gender. I mean, wait, I'm the same gender. He's a different gender, man, because I have this theory, too, that there's two types of humans. There's a subspecies. There's Homo libertitis, which is people who believe in liberty. And then there's Homo parasitis, which is people who want to live off the back of others or people who want to be ruled. It's both. So we're Homo libertitis, no homo. And Howard Dean, no relation to Michael Dean. Howard Dean.
No relation.
He is Homo parasitis. So. I like his yell though.
Yeah.
Was that his yell? Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got some announcements here on the Fiends, and there's kind of a joke on TV sometimes where they'll have like a local, very, very, very local radio station, and they'll have people like giving announcements like, and Sam, your wife called and said, please pick up some chicken for dinner. Like they do that on the radio. And I've actually heard that in small towns.
The pick up the chicken, really? You've heard pick up the chicken?
Yeah. And it's a joke on TV, like, in 30 Rock when they go down to Pig Holler or wherever Kenneth is from, like they do that on the TV news. But we're a nationally syndicated radio show, but I've actually got a message that I'm passing on to one person here. Nima, your mother emailed me and she says she's still waiting for you to call her.
It's Sunday. Today's Sunday. Like the day just started, man. I'll call after the show.
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah. She's basically
she's bugging you at work saying, why hasn't Nima called me? Yeah, so we got some other announcements that are a little broader than that. The Fiends are still looking for programmers. We need C++ or C# computer programmers to work on something to change the world for the better. It's legal. It's not hacking, but it's legal. But it's fun, but it's secret. And write talkback at freedomfiends.com. That's talkback at freedomfiends.com if you can program in either C++ or C#. We're also, and it's unpaid, man. It's unpaid, but you will change the world and get credit. Some more unpaid work with no room for advancement.
It's unpaid with currency. You'll be paid graciously by being on the Fiend's floppy disk of redemption.
The golden floppy disk of redemption. Yeah, but you'll also get some Fiend's buttons. We send Fiend's buttons, which have actual monetary value. And there are laws, you know, if you do some work in a contract, it actually has to have some monetary value. So you'll get some Fiend's buttons, which we normally sell. So they do have value, and we sell them regularly. So another mention, we need someone to do some web research for us, someone who's really good at looking stuff up, to just do some mindless stuff that I've been doing, but I don't have time to do it. So if you want to help with that, it involves looking up radio stations and checking that they actually are still talk radio stations and haven't turned to all Jesus or Tejano all the time. Yeah. So
Jesus or Jesus.
And yes. We have an announcement from Lou. This is very much of public interest. Lou Sander G. Fien, who is one of our bloggers, our great man on the street correspondence from the formerly great state of Michigan, has started a page on Facebook called Liberate Detroit. It's the free Detroit page. It's Liberate Detroit. And it's people who live in and around Detroit, or people who are willing to move there and buy really cheap property and try to build it into a libertarian cooperative paradise. You know, the haters always say, if you want a lawless world, you think that'd be good, move to Somalia. And there's actually a lot of law in Somalia, most of it imposed by the U.S. government, which is why there are murders on the street there constantly.
And so, warlords supported by the U.S. government, and intervention from Ethiopia, which was nudged at by the U.S. government.
So if you want a similar situation in America, move to Detroit. You don't even have to get a passport to do this libertarian paradise.
There you go.
And, you know, I'm wondering, too, like that lady on MSNBC was saying, this is Detroit's what happened when you don't have enough government and when government can be drowned in a bathtub. Well, that's such a lie, man. Detroit has had more government intervention than any other city in America over the years. I mean, with the auto industry.
Not only that, but it falls flat on its face because it's the government of Detroit City that's falling flat on its face by filing for bankruptcy, right? Yeah, so they got so big and spent so much money that they couldn't pay their debts. That's literally the problem. So how could you say that they're so small they achieved bankruptcy? No, that's not how that works.
Yeah, and there is not so little government you can drown it in their bathtub. There's still a lot of government there. Now, the police will not, if you're being murdered and you call 911, they'll take an hour to show up there now. But the cops are still giving out speeding tickets and doing rent-seeking type behavior.
Yep.
But here's what Lou told me that's interesting. They fired a bunch of their prosecutors. They laid off 22 lawyers in the prosecutor's office that deal with traffic cases and domestic violence. So if you have a domestic violence claim, you're out of luck, which is bad. But if you get a traffic ticket and you show up in court, there's no prosecutor, case dismissed. I wonder how long that'll last before they just start having RoboCop doing all, you know, judge, jury, and executioner for traffic tickets. Remember, RoboCop took place in Detroit in the not too distant future, in the 80s, which would be now. So.
Yeah. There's a comedian who does a bit about that. I forget his name, but he says, are you kidding me? RoboCop accurately predicted Detroit 20 years ago?
I know. Yeah. And Lou also said that Detroit is not only – the government is not only not small enough to drown in the bathtub. It's so big you can't drown it in the Great Lakes.
Lou has a way with words. That's why he's one of our favorite bloggers on our website.
He sure got a purty mouth. Okay, that's a reference to a movie. What's the movie? Blazing Saddles, one of the best movies ever made. Although I think you know what? I've seen it on TV with all of the jokes censored, and the whole thing is racial jokes against every race, including whites, and they censor all the race joke words in it. So basically, it's not funny anymore. You know,
It's just a bunch of silly little kid kindergarten insults
fart
at everybody
jokes.
For no reason.
It's just fart jokes that they left in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a line in there, too. What is it? Something about, I don't even want to do the joke about the Chinese because I can't pull it off and it's going to sound racist. And I'm not the comic genius of the guys who wrote that movie back in the day.
Well, in the South Park movie, which is actually about censorship, one of the people that's talking about putting V-chips in kids and in TVs and stuff. And getting rid of Terrence and Phillip say, it's okay, kids. You can still watch fart jokes on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. And here's our segue into Chinese things. We said yesterday that there's a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. We looked that up, and most people believe that, but there actually is no Chinese curse of that, even though I got it in a fortune cookie from a Chinese restaurant, but it's probably written by some grad student from the University at Austin who works there writing those things. Probably some white guy. But May You Live in Interesting Times is actually from a novel written in 1936 that's supposed to be about it was written by a British ambassador, and some of it is fiction. And it was basically in fiction, it was a Chinese curse, but people thought it was real. Someone said it somewhere and it got taken up and run with. But there were three made up Chinese curses in there. And one of them is, may you find what you're looking for. And the other is, may you come to the attention of those in authority. That's scary, man. That's from 1936. Right.
Well, Robert F. Kennedy was one of the people that popularized the May You Live in Interesting Times, according to Wiki, in his Day of Affirmation address in Cape Town. So now we have Obama would probably be using the May You Come Attention to Those in Authority in his next speech.
Man, those Kennedy brothers really knew how to do international diplomacy. Like Bobby Kennedy said something wrong as truth of Chinese culture. And, you know, the most famous blunder of international diplomacy ever was John saying, "Ich bin ein Berliner," which means I'm a jelly donut, to thousands of people who cheered him because they knew what he was trying to say, which was "Ich bin Berliner," which means I'm a Berliner, I'm one of you, we're all Berliners today. Basically, he was saying we're all in favor of this wall keeping democracy and freedom and freedom out.
Right.
He had a line about keeping things out. We were talking about gated communities. What's the rap line if you clean it up for radio?
CeeLo in the song Self Therapy, of which the chorus is, "Who's that peeking in my window? Pow, nobody now." He has a line about a gated community where he says, "Every now and then, I wonder if that gate was put up to keep crime out or keep our butts in." You know, obviously it's I cleaned it up for radio a bit.
What's the New World Order reference in that song?
Well, one of the other MCs just has a verse where he says, "Traces of the New World Order. Times is getting shorter. If we don't get prepared people, it's going to be a slaughter."
So it sounds like they're talking about using blue helmeted dragoons for target practice. That's feisty, man.
A little bit. It's real feisty. And it was played on MTV, and it had a video with black and white images of nukes going off and all sorts of interesting stuff.
Black and white? That's racist.
Well, it's both,
man.
Sepia would be more appropriate, I guess, because then it's brown and beige.
It's funny because they're of nukes going off. Yeah, that's kind of anachronism because they're showing something from the 50s and making it look like a photo from the 1890s.
Right.
Sepia tone. Yeah, think about that. No, they actually had color film in the 50s. There's color film of the first nuke tests. Movie footage, you know, and I was born in 64. I grew up at the tail end of duck and cover. We actually had duck and cover drills in kindergarten where the teacher told us that the government said we have to all practice getting under our desks in case there's a nuclear attack from the Soviets.
Well, like duck and cover was like the first see something, say something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, not the first. I think the first goes back to World War I. There were U.S. propaganda photos. Well, no. World War II, they had one. It was "Loose lips sink ships," which basically means don't gossip. You know, like if you work in the bomb factory, don't talk about it at the bar. Because there's spies everywhere, because there probably were, because back then they had to actually send people to spy on people. They didn't just tap everything.
There was also a lot of cartoon propaganda done by Dr. Seuss.
No, Disney, man. Disney.
Well, Disney and Dr. Seuss.
Disney did the pro-Nazi stuff, didn't he?
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure they did anti-Nazi
stuff. They did anti-Nazi stuff, too. But wasn't he friends with some Nazi industrialists and stuck up for them right at the beginning of the World War II before the U.S. got heavily involved? I could be wrong, and Disney is an incredibly litigious corporation, so I don't know what I'm talking about, man. Look it up. I read it on the internet. It must be true.
Yeah, I'm Googling Dr. Seuss right now. His estate's probably pretty litigious, too. But Google that as well. There's some pretty racial I don't know what the word is here, but pretty racist cartoons. Oh, there's one that says Liberators of America, and it's got this Japanese cartoon that looks really racist, like with the buck teeth and the glasses and Hitler right next to him.
Who made it? Who made it?
Dr. Seuss.
Okay. Wow. Man.
Yep.
Man, he's probably pressed into service as a patriot.
Maybe.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. People ask, what's a fiend? What's a fiend, Nima?
Fiend is somebody who fiends for something. Somebody who really wants something. Used all the time, man. In
it's
rap
a
music,
fiend.
R&B music.
It's a fiend.
Yeah, it's a fiend, but it's become its own thing. That's the thing about language, is once it turns into a new thing, then fiend is now its own word. It's not even an offshoot of fiend, although it might be listed in the etymology in the future dictionary.
You know, when I call program directors and I say fiend, Freedom Fiends, and they say, yeah, cool, I'll check it out, and they end up taking us, it's because they're hip and they are people who will be in business 5 years from now. And people who go, Freedom Teens? What? What's that? And some of them, I explain it to them, and they get it, and they realize we're hip enough that they should program us if they want to be in business in 5 years. And then the people who go like, what? Those are the people who are not going to be in business in 5 years when the industry changes vastly. Yeah. That's what I think.
I always say it's not even that hip. I mean, it's almost passé now. Will.i.am says it all the time, like in every Black Eyed Peas song.
Yeah.
He probably
once he's saying it, man. Yeah. That's kind of like, you know, punk rock. I was into punk rock from like 1981, and I played in punk bands in 83 and then played in a post-punk band, you know, that was even cooler, that band Bomb. And by the time that there was punk rock on MTV, it was dead. It really was. Like, by the time everyone was discovering it, it was so passé, man. Although I still like punk rock. We still play some hip-hop punk rock, you and I. We do.
Yeah.
We like it.
Yeah. Would you call it that, or would you call it post-hop punk? Post-punk hop.
I don't know, man. But, you know, caffeine is a hell of a drug. I like today's episode. It's kind of like the it's kind of like yesterday was the real, like, it wasn't serious, but it was funny, but it was the seriously political episode where we really laid it all out with Larkin Rose and let him yak. And, you know, there's a thing that Sean D said that I really liked, that was, you know, when people say, you know, are you anti-government? He says, I'm pro-liberty, and government is incompatible with liberty.
Amen. Yeah, Mises, I think, has a quote that says, government is, in essence, the negation of liberty. So they are mutually exclusive. You have the state, you have government. Either one of those, I know they're two different things, but one leads to the other. Those are not compatible in any way, shape, or form with true freedom or liberty.
Yeah, and we just got a response to our request for a C++ or a C# programmer. I love that. I love that I can sit here in my windowless bunker and talk about that, and then suddenly we got someone volunteering to do it, listening to the radio, and that's cool. And, you know, I mean, the statists would say, well, that's because the government gives us radio stations and lets you be on. I'm like, no, they don't. They make it really hard to get on one. They really do.
And really hard to make sure we watch our mouths and has all sorts of rules about what we can and can't say and what we can and can't do. And we have to make sure everybody knows that an advertisement is an advertisement.
Yeah.
And that's just a bunch of overhead that's really annoying. But if you want to help us, you can help us do this.
Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we go to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
You were right. You were right. I thought you were exaggerating.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah!
We all forgot about that. What year is that? That Howard Dean, no relation to me, Michael Dean.
2004.
Man, that was awesome. He sounds like an announcer at like World Wrestling Federation, isn't he? And
he's really
hoarse. He's been doing that same speech every night for a month, and that's just the one that he really did the scream on. And that ruined his career, which is really bizarre, man. That like
it is.
I don't want a career where something like that, the mainstream media can take it and ruin it. Although they could take the part out of context today where I said, what's up, my young, strong, proud Aryan brother to you, because you are Persian, which is the original Aryans. I was making a joke about
I don't even know if we were the original
race being
Aryans.
Fluid.
Just part of them. Yeah.
You're not the OAs, the original Aryans.
The OAs, homie, that's us.
Actually, OA is also Overeaters Anonymous, a 12-step program for people with food addiction. And that's not an ad, that's just a fact, you know. Today's kind of like the Liberty. Yesterday was the real serious, like, nuts and bolts. It was funny, but it was the real nuts and bolts teaching hospital. And today is kind of more like the general interest show. You know, that's a style of talk radio, is general interest. GCN has a couple of those shows. They're on in the middle of the night, and they're really popular. What are they called? Like America Tonight?
I'm interested in things in general. That's okay.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I like to feel like I dabble in a bunch of different things and don't have a specific mindset towards one aspect of society or life.
We're a good general interest show, especially today. We're just talking about everything under the sun, things that fall into our mind. And then, you know, we all take it back to like, and it's the government's fault. But we'll be back. It's the government's fault. Blah! Yeah. Michael Dean.
No relation.
Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yo, Freedom Fiends.
It is the Freedom Fiends live show. Thank you for returning to us. We will now be talking about various things with me, Nima V, and Michael
Dean. Freedom Fiends, the general interest friendly anarchy show.
Yeah.
I don't like the word anarchy. I like the word voluntarist, which basically means you want voluntary interactions instead of interactions that are enforced at the barrel of a government gun like everything else.
I like non-aggressionist.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like abolitionist because that has good anti-racist tones to it.
We want to free the slaves, free the tax slaves.
Yes, yeah. Free the slaves, of course.
Well, it's not just taxes. Taxes are just how they fund the beast. But yeah, I wanted to talk about how caffeine is a hell of a drug, man, because I woke up. Okay, I set my clock every day for 9:40 my time, and we go on at 11 my time. And that gives me time to wake up and do stuff. And often when I wake – or sometimes when I wake up to do a show, and today especially, I wake up. I stumble to the bathroom to, you know, whatever, throw some water on my face. And my first thought as I'm stumbling to the bathroom is, like, I'm really tired. You know, even if I slept enough, I'm tired when I wake up at first. I'm like, ugh, am I really going to get on the radio and scream at the government? I don't know, man. They're going to kill me. And I kind of don't want to do it when I first get up sometimes. And then, like, 30 minutes later, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's talk. Let's yell at things that are wrong. Yeah. Yeah, and I drink more caffeine as the show goes on, and then I'm just like,
Yes, you're dependent. Yeah. You're an addict.
I think I am, man. I am powerless over caffeine and nicotine, and I'm vaping now. I'm vaping and not smoking. I'm vaping, and I like it. My life is vastly improved. I have a lot more energy, and my cats don't smell like cigarettes.
Ew.
That's horrible, man. Cats, you know, it if you is, smoke, your pets smell like cigarettes. I mean, everyone knows your teeth smell, your clothes smell, your room smells, but you probably don't notice till you quit smoking, your pets smell like it too. And that's really horrible, and it's bad for them. And my pets avoided me when I would smoke, but they come near me when I vape. I blow it away from them. I make sure they don't inhale it. And it doesn't really permeate a room the same way smoke does. So, speaking of rooms and what's on the walls in them, and this is a general interest show, we want to talk about sound conditioning because,
yeah,
you just moved into a new place and, you wrote this hip hop song called the First Night, and it's called Losing My Security Deposit on the First Day.
Did I really?
You were pounding nails and humming and talking to me on the phone, and I just figured that was the song you were writing.
Okay. I was drilling. I was cutting up some PVC pipe. I built a frame around my desk or above my desk.
Pretty cool.
To hold my microphone, yeah. But the RE320 is so heavy that the gooseneck still kind of leans, and so I have to adjust it every now and then. I'm trying to figure out a solution for that.
Well,
I think I might need a scissor arm.
I will send you the scissor arm, man. You just got to give me your address. I'll send you your new address. I don't know where my best friend lives.
It's 10.
Shut up, man. Yeah, don't give it out. Don't give it out, man. We got haters.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
Yeah, yes. But send it to me in an encrypted email, and then the only people reading it will be the U.S. government, because we have a story about that. Let's read that and then come back to sound conditioning. You got that one? Postal Service? Yeah, the U.S. Postal Service, the U.S. government is not only tapping every phone call, every cell phone, every landline, every email, every web search. The U.S. Postal Service is now logging all snail mail for law enforcement. They're not necessarily opening it, but they can without a warrant. But what they're doing with everybody is taking a photograph of the front and back of every piece of mail. Every piece. Mm-hmm. So they know who you're writing.
That's their, quote, metadata.
Yes. Yeah.
And this was actually found out. It looks like it was broke by the New York Times because, according to them, Leslie James Pickering noticed something odd in his mail last September, a handwritten card apparently delivered by mistake with instructions for postal workers to pay special attention to the letters and packages sent to his home.
Yeah.
Quote, show all mail to supervisor for copying prior to going out on the street.
Yeah. Yeah, and they wonder why the post office is going bankrupt. Maybe if they didn't pay people to spy on everybody, they'd be closer to not going bankrupt.
Right. My wife had a really interesting point about the post office because she's been going to the UPS store often to do various bits of business, like mailing things.
She used to work at one.
She did.
Yeah.
For a little bit. Yeah, it was kind of a stopgap before she got her current job.
A good job, good meaning get out of debt job. G-O-O-D.
There you go.
Not really a good job, just a G-O-O-D job. Yeah.
But her point was that at a place like that, they're there to serve you, and they're always talking about what they can do to help you. And you ask them, hey, can you do this? And they're like, oh, sure, we can do that. That'll be fine.
I know.
And they'll tell her, you know, if her mail needs more stamps and all sorts of things. And
private mail,
Right. They'll let us deposit our money into our USAA account. So instead of going to Wells Fargo anymore, who really was not very customer friendly. In fact, they're on a current list of worst companies. companies out there. And in fact, a lot of banks are. But so many things they can do. But then you go to the post office and they'll tell you the things they can't do. You know, on all over the walls, there's posters of what they can't do. And,
and what you
the
can't
employees
mail.
Will say, oh, we can't do that.
Yeah. No,
we can't mail that. Yeah. And the thing is that if you're an employee at the post office, your pay is the same. Everything stays the same because it's all state sanctioned, state funded.
You can't get fired.
You'd
have to really, really do something horrible to get fired.
Right.
My mailman.
The incentive structure is really backwards. And so what they do in order to make themselves more wealthier as far as mental health and time is they make sure they do as little as possible so that they're getting paid more for doing less.
My mailman in LA was a drunk. I could smell booze on him like through the gate from like 6 feet away. And he routinely put my letters in my neighbor next door, different building's mailbox, and vice versa. And fortunately, my neighbor and I were nice people and would take each other our mail. But I wonder how many people just never got important letters because, you know, someone else got them and just threw them away or opened them. And, you know, a friend of mine sent me some silver. It wasn't a lot of money's worth of silver. It was like $60 worth of silver through the U.S. mail last year. And it never got to me, and he got something back from the post office, from the Denver post office. He was in Phoenix. I'm in Casper. So in the middle, at the hub, they sent him back the envelope empty, like, you know, the packaging empty with a note that said the contents had been lost. And I'm like, lost?
lost in my pocket
as somebody who works there. And, you know, my dad had something stolen by the TSA, either TSA or baggage handlers. And baggage handlers are part of the government, basically. They're totally in the pocket of the government and controlled by the government. He had a paper Target. He and I went – he's 91 years old. He came out to see me last year in the winter, came out to see my wife and I. And I went shooting with him, and he did really well for 91 for – at 25 yards with no optics on a rifle, or did it have optics? I forget. But he shot like 50 rounds into a paper target, and I'd say 40 or more of them were in the one-inch circle in the center. And he's 91, man. And it was like – it was freezing out, and it was like raining, freezing rain. And that's pretty damn good for 91. And somebody stole it out of his luggage on the way home. Like, he put it in his luggage. He got to the other end. It was gone.
I watched him put it in his luggage.
I helped him pack. Yeah. And, you know, it was either somebody stole it and put it on their wall and lied and said they did it, or they were like, oh, Americans shouldn't have riflemanship ability. This is a dark, naughty object. We're going to throw it away.
That's paraphernalia.
It's naughty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's really awful. But I did take a paper target home with me from my last trip to Salt Lake, and it arrived intact and just fine.
Well, they know you're Middle Eastern, so they don't want to mess with you.
Oh, really? The airlines. Is that it? I think it's the opposite of that. But well, you know, it's a hit or miss kind of thing. I remember also checking in my firearms, and it was a huge hassle because I didn't have the proper box. But JetBlue was there to save me from the TSA, who would have had me I don't know what they would have had me do. Well, I'm just gonna leave my gun in the airport. Is that what they wanted me to do? Like, go throw your gun in the trash and we'll just have an airport with a gun in the trash. I mean what are you supposed to do in that situation?
Should we call them up and get ads from them, and you can do a testimonial saying, if you like to carry guns on planes, go call JetBlue. They'll help you.
Maybe, but yeah, I went to the desk.
I don't think that would go over.
And I talked to JetBlue, and they told me that this is one of our best sellers because we're the only airline here that will sell you a TSA-compliant gun case right at the counter. So when the TSA says, nish, nish, we'll say, ach, yeah, and give you this lovely gun case for
you. Is that Russian or backwards hip-hop?
I think it's a reference to Bruno, Sacha Baron Cohen's Austrian character.
Yes.
He does this bit. It's an interview tactic where he interviews somebody and he'll say, I'm going to say a statement. And if you agree with it, say, ach ja. If you disagree, say nish nish. And the other disagreement, I think, is train to Auschwitz. So, you know, it's tongue in cheek joke kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the TSA workers, when I finally bought the JetBlue thing, she looked at my gun and she goes, "Oh, I love the Springfield XD. Is that the 9mm or the 40 caliber?" And we talked about guns for a little bit, just me and this TSA agent just chatting about guns.
Hey, when you send something at the UPS store, do you have to fill out a Department of Homeland Security claim form?
I don't know. I make my wife do those errands. I'll have to ask
Her. Or is that just me? Because I do the Fiend show with you.
It could be just you.
Yeah.
They make you fill out a Department of Homeland Security form?
Yes.
What does it ask?
It basically says everything that's on the UPS form, but you have to write it again on a piece of paper and put what the contents are.
I roll.
Yeah, they'll get everyone used to that, and then you'll have to say like what the contents are and what your purpose in sending it to this person is. Probably.
Well, here's another example. There was one holiday where I was sending out gifts. We bought all our gifts online because we had an Amazon Prime trial membership for a month. So we thought, well, we'll buy everything online, we'll send it out, and then we'll just mail some other stuff. And I was living in Washington State in wine country, so I decided I would buy a bottle of wine from an actual winery, you know, a local place that grows their own grapes, makes their own wine, and send it to my dad, who really enjoys you know, microbrews and fancy wines and local wines and things like that. And the UPS store agent, when we were going to ship stuff, asked me what was in it. I said, "It's a bottle of wine." And she looked at me cockeyed. She goes, "You mean red wine vinegar?" And I said, "Yes, yes, of course. Like, red wine vinegar."
Nod, nod, wink, wink.
Right, because they're not allowed to ship wine. But if that was a post office agent, what do you think they would have said?
I think they would have made a call and said, "Wait here," and guys with guns would have come in and thrown you to the ground, man.
Maybe. Yeah.
They would have gooned you.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of gooning. Oh,
speaking of gooning, we'll save it for the tweak and review.
Right. We'll be right back after this trip to the market.
Yeah. Fiends.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we are. We're going to be. It's the end of the show.
Yeah.
And it was a live
tweak
one.
And review.
If you're just tuning in, go ahead and download
Radio.
The archives, and it'll fill your ears with lots of wonderfulness. But now, Michael,
we have something.
It's time for the. Oh. Do we?
We have something to say about the archives. We're putting them out lower bandwidth now. We're putting them out 64K instead of 128. I would like people's feedback on that. If you go to the freedomfiends.com website, they should play better on chromed robot turds, you know, on mobile devices. And we sound so good that they sound about 85% as good as the really high bandwidth ones that are a lot harder to download. And, you know, we still sound better than most shows, I think. So I'd like people's feedback on the new only version we're putting up, which is half the file size. So what does it
I think they still sound great, but they sound slightly less full. There's a little bit less fullness to them.
Yeah, but you know, in today's high-paced environment, who really has time for fullness?
Yeah, I was going to make
it's
a mom
less
joke,
filling.
But okay.
It's less filling.
It's less filling with great, same great taste, less filling.
Half the fullness. All right. No, it's 85% of the fullness with half of the calories. That's the new Fiends, basically.
Okay, okay. Do you have any more ado?
No, what is it time for, Nima?
Well, without further ado, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review! Yeah, all right. So, number one, the war on drugs is the real villain in the Trayvon Martin incident. At least that's how the Fiends see it. Trayvon Martin was apparently, according to Zimmerman in the phone call, looked like he was up to no good, possibly on drugs. The part in the phone call to 911 where he talks about race, that was actually a fault of NBC editing, because he was asked by the 911 dispatcher what race the guy is.
Not fault. Like accident, like they lied and tried to make it sound like that.
But the one thing that it doesn't seem anybody's really commented on is the fact that Martin thought, or Zimmerman thought, that it was a problem that Trayvon was wandering around looking like he was on drugs. And then the other issue is, according to some Facebook posts, it seems like Trayvon Martin might have been looking for codeine or some more preferable drug, but ended up buying cough syrup with DXM in it because he couldn't get his hands on the drug that should be freely available to consenting adults. Martin was 18, you know, we call that a consenting adult. So he should have been able to have the codeine delivered to him, so he didn't have to wander around the neighborhood, had the codeine delivered to him, stay in his bedroom, and listen to 3 in the Morning by DJ Screw. But no, because of the war on drugs, he had to go out and look like he was up to no good to this neighborhood watchman, who apparently, according to some, would have been well within his rights if he had a police badge. But he didn't. Instead, he was a lowly neighborhood watchman.
If Obama and Holder want to stop hurting and killing black people, they should end the war on drugs.
Yes.
And the war on guns.
Not just black people, but people in general. If they want to stop being murderous, blood-soaked demons, they should stop the war on drugs.
They don't want to stop doing that. They get a kick out of that. They have liberty. What's the Dominandi thing?
Libido dominandi, the lust for power, is indeed what they have. Now, again, another example of that is them using the fluidity of race for their own aggressive political advantage. We had a tiny discussion about, you know, race, gender, even nationality, all those things being fluid, that's not really a problem. If you're a half-breed or a mix and you want to still go enjoy your heritage, for me it's my Persian heritage, but still, you know, move in and out of different groups as your will, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when somebody like Barack Obama or Eric Holder are playing a race card in the Zimmerman case and calling Zimmerman white when he's obviously only half white.
Obama. You know,
they're using that again as another tool in their aggressive state tool belt. All right. Then next up, private services. Well, they're more likely to offer you good service and have a can-do attitude. Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. Here, let me tell you what we can do. And even if they can't do something, the associate might give you other options. You know, like, well, our company doesn't do that, but what I would do is go here or go here or check online. Whereas public employees, they're much quicker to say the things they can't do because that saves them time. They're not going to get fired. They're not going to get paid more if they provide good service. So what their incentive then is to make sure they do as little as possible while they're on the job. No, sorry, can't do that for you, but it's against policy. Next, that kind of a thing. And so I would just encourage you to think about that because it's a good example of why liberty and freedom and private transactions would organize society in a way that's better for both parties, every party, in fact. And I'm Nima Vedati. This was the Freedom Fiends. Tell them bye, Michael.
Yeah! This is Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends signing off. Till next weekend.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal.